everybody. Welcome to the newest Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we're doing something a little bit more unusual, kind of a, 1980s comedy from, well, here's the thing. It's John Hughes. Everyone loves John Hughes. You know, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. He even produced slash wrote some of the classics of the Christmas period, like Christmas Vacation, for example. And yet here we have a, well, it's like a masturbation fantasy with a moral at the end that has no act structure and is just kind of weird. In fact, if it wasn't John Hughes, I don't think it would be made. It's not that it's bad, it's just that it's weird and the gender politics are weirder. And frankly, the Oingo Boingo song might be the best part, so stay tuned for that, I guess. That being said, I do have some things to mention. For example, depending on when you are listening to this, we have Cineprov is riffing the movie Flesh Gordon on the 19th, which is cool. And on February 1st, they're doing the movie Stragglers. So from all of us at Dude Letter Podcasting, Myopia Defend Your Childhood, Doomed to Repeat, Mission Briefing, which should be coming back soon, and the upcoming Disremembered. Happy New Year, and I hope that 2018 grows on our successes of 2017, and it's all because of you. Thanks, guys. Why don't people understand my intention?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons!
Oh yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net. It's my creation.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, we listened to a lot of bullshit from Oingo Boingo. We watched 1984's John Hughes masturbatory film, Weird Science.
I'm so glad you didn't say masterpiece, because, wow.
Yeah.
That's where I thought it was going for a second.
No, me too. Oh, boy.
It's the first time I'll ever agree with somebody saying, yeah, so glad he said masturbatory there.
Here's the thing about Weird Science, which we'll get to. It's fine.
No, it's not.
It's just nothing.
We've done a lot worse. We've done a lot better.
We did worse a few weeks ago. But anyway. So I'm Nick Hoffman, editor of Dude Letter and Riffron Cineprov this time. Okay. And on panel we have...
Christina.
Jeremy.
Hello, this is Daniel. My ass looks at least as good as Bill Paxton's.
And I'm Thomas Herman of the Brothers Herman and host of the Geekly Oddcast.
You see Bill Paxton's ass in this movie. That's where that joke comes from.
That's quite a claim, Daniel.
Oh. Well, I can prove it right now.
Well, I mean, it looks better now, considering...
Oh, Paxton's. Dude. Dude.
Oh. I'm turning Daniel down a little. Oh.
So Jeremy likes some bony is what we got from that.
Yeah. Sorry if
bone
I was...
Bone in them bones.
Sorry if I was being too loud, Nick.
No, you're fine. I don't care. I edit this down anyway. I won't edit that out, though. This was something that happened. This is our first John Hughes movie, and it was weird.
Wait, this is our first John Hughes movie?
Yes.
It's possible. I think so.
Oh, good lord.
We didn't do Made in Manhattan.
Never done Ferris Bueller.
We didn't do Reach the Rock.
Breakfast Club.
Flubber.
16 Candles.
How is Day Out.
The Breakfast Club's going to get a Criterion release next
Pretty
month.
Pretty in Pink.
Can anybody, does that blow anyone else's mind? Maybe Jeremy's here.
That what?
The Breakfast Club is getting Criterion Collection release next month.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, they're doing Night of the Living Dead in 2 months.
Night of the Living Dead.
Well, that's a landmark.
Oh, yeah, but...
I mean, considering how many public domain editions, there needs to be a definitive.
Well, first of all, who gives a shit? It's John Hughes. He was all over the 80s. They probably just said pick one. No, I mean, honestly, it could have been Pretty in Pink, it could have been 16 Candles. They're like, those are racist. Let's do another one. Let's just do one where people share the marijuana.
where Anthony Michael Hall is equally racist.
I guess. Someone makes a sandwich out of Fruity Pebbles?
That's right.
Or Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, that movie has its charm.
She wasn't even in detention.
She's just hanging out?
Yeah.
She just likes hanging out.
And she looks better before the makeover?
Makeover, 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 makeover.
I'm just going to let you keep going. That's from a show that no one has ever seen.
Except us, and it's a great show.
Except you and I. We'll talk about a TV show that doesn't matter. So other than Some Kind of Wonderful, which is what we should have done, this is, well, like, Daniel, do you want to give us a plot synopsis?
Sure, if you insist. These two horny teens are unpopular with the ladies, which is proven after they get their pants pulled down in a gym class in front of all the gymnasts.
Their description of their fantasy at that very beginning scene just plays out half of the movie. Like,
yeah. Well, any
shower with girls.
Yes.
As someone who's showered with someone else, it's not a pleasant experience. There's not enough room in a shower.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I'd just rather enjoy a shower.
The shower in this movie was huge. But anyway,
Jonathan doesn't know how people live.
No.
No.
He's never seen a poor... He thinks... He wrote a tax plan. Like, he doesn't understand how poor people actually...
Well, anyway,
have you seen Pretty in Pink?
Because they're so frustrated, they decide to use 80s computers, which is apparently something they can do, to create an artificial woman named Lisa, who is a...
with a Barbie doll.
Yeah, who is a supermodel god, or a goddess in this case, and she helps them straighten their lives out.
This is a movie that makes war games seem much more reasonable in the 1980s.
Yeah, well...
Okay, well... this movie infuriated me in a way. First of all, it's perfectly passable. If you like John Hughes, you'll enjoy this. I didn't realize how much I didn't like his tropes, because I could pick out, oh, that's a very John Hughes line, and the more I did that, the more angry I got.
Well, when it works great. When it doesn't work, it crashes and burns. It's terrible.
Also, okay, there's two actors in here, two kid actors who really should not be in any movies ever.
Well, there's
Anthony Michael Hall and what's the other little shit's name?
I just call him the other little shit. I mean,
Wyatt.
Yes, Wyatt.
The character is Wyatt, but whenever he gets nervous, he gets higher and more.
Oh, jeez, Rick.
That should have been played by Ferris Bueller. That should have been Matthew Broderick, because that guy can actually act. And
oh, Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie, and he was credited as Robert Downey. That's how old this movie is.
But he's perfectly passable. The bullies are fine in this movie. The girlfriends are fine.
Yeah.
But the two main characters are the least pleasant characters in the
movie. Oh,
I think they're supposed to be, because they're the most unpopular people ever in their high school.
Ilan Michael Smith was Wyatt, apparently.
Who never acted again?
He never acted to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't have.
Yeah.
He was in Superboy, which was a TV show back in the 80s.
Yeah, it was bad.
As well as still... he was in the Goldbergs recently. So there you go.
That's surprising.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the 80s.
The Goldbergs is the comedy version of Stranger Things.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a...
I mean, we got nothing, Daniel. You...
you want to continue with the
plot?
Yeah,
you keep kind of...
Okay, well, it opens, like I said, at that gym scene where Anthony Michael Hall gets his pants pulled down, and then they create Lisa, who's a very weird character. I mean, they never really define exactly what she is.
All right, let's stop here. We need to talk about how this movie doesn't exist. John Hughes never went to a regular high school, did he? Because no one does gymnastics in high school gym.
Well... This was,
Thomas, you can talk to this.
This was back in the 80s, or at least the early 80s, when public schools were actually well-funded.
No.
No, you're not actually... No, because if you go to the right... Because this goes back to John Hughes doesn't know how normal people live, so this kind of fits with that, because if you go to a richer high school, like I kind of did, which was public school... They do gymnastics.
So, like, this is, like, there should have been a fencing club as well. There should have been, like...
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
I would have paid a full ticket price.
Greece, they did gymnastics in there. Remember when he was trying to...
I would have paid a full ticket price to see Anthony Michael Hall fence.
I would have liked to see him try to do the uneven bars.
Oh, there you go.
And broken his neck and ended this movie in fact.
Awful horse, bitches.
I feel like the gymnastics scene was necessary just to set up for the gymnastics event...
And nothing that is Wyatt, worse than someone laughing at your penis.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
well, as you know, Christina, nothing is worse
it's
than somebody.
So terrible.
That's how you put men back in their place. You just go, ah, when you see a penis.
My dick gets laughed at all the time.
Want to chime in on there, Thomas?
No, that's good. I think we should just leave that hanging.
No words. There. Just no words.
Your guys' marriage really works.
I'll drink to that.
Hey, I'm getting old. Apparently a great concern is making sure I don't sit on my own testicles. We'll be fine.
Oh, God.
That
is a problem,
the
Christina.
Nick Man spreads is what we got from that.
Yeah. I wear supportive underwear now. I'm wearing a push-up thong.
You should just try ladies' underwear.
That's right.
Yeah. So it lifts and separates? Mm-hmm. Is that?
Well, that's what I think Wyatt was wearing in that opening scene, because it's like one of them was wearing underwear. The other person was wearing like...
A thong?
I guess.
Wearing hers. No. He took a jock strap.
Okay.
It was
hip huggers. Now, I will say, no one ever looks good in a halter top, let alone men. That was a weird thing. Looking back at even...
No, he's the most androgynous guy like in the entire movie. Like, you could have put a wig on him and potentially convinced people
this
he was
a
woman.
This is the most 80s movie that ever 80s'd. I mean,
it's
just
up there.
Yeah, I mean, just the way that it looks. I mean, everybody dresses like they're Bret Easton Ellis characters.
They almost invited a black person.
Yeah, except that whole scene. Jesus. Yeah.
Straight
instead,
up,
they were the bartenders.
They were the servants. Yeah, no, they didn't think any of this. Women almost got lines, but then didn't. Mm-hmm. It was something.
They were almost characters, but then they weren't.
So,
imagine that.
Not unlike
a... They almost got a brain in that one, too.
If they only had a brain.
What's up with that scene, though, when they're creating Lisa, and all they're doing is, like, feeding images into a scanner. So they, like, feed an image of Albert Einstein into their computer, and it somehow gives her the intelligence of Albert Einstein.
A production assistant had to get rid of all of his Playboys because mom was coming for the weekend, and they were just feeding it into the shredder. That's what this...
I know that's practically how it worked, but how's that work in the universe of the movie? I mean... It's an 80s computer. You can't even run programs on that.
On a 5 1/4 floppy.
I mean, were they saving Lisa's personality on a cassette tape? What
the
hell were they doing?
You see a boarded up white house is about what you get from the 1980s.
It had jiggle physics, too. They designed her breasts on like a CAD program.
Yeah.
Which is something. I
jiggle physics.
Jiggle physics. Well, that's how they described programming a Tomb Raider, I think, with jiggle physics.
And Dead or Alive, if you remember that movie. Not that movie, that video game series.
What'd you give it again?
Dead or Alive.
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing for this. So from here, I will give the movie this. It gets going. I mean, it's only
nine minutes. Yeah, it's a tight movie.
They develop and build Lisa in 5 minutes, 10 minutes in. We're already have the Frankenstein knockoff scene. They're watching Bride of Frankenstein on
a colorized version of Bride of Frankenstein, which is terrible.
Buddy, it's Ted Turner's America. Who gives a shit?
I know.
No, I mean, you're barking up the wrong tree if that's your problem. They should have kept it original. That's not the problem with this movie. It exists is a bigger problem. There's an episode of The Simpsons where they build a monorail, and the guy's talking about... Yeah.
There's an episode of The Simpsons where they build a monorail is like the most understated sentence you've ever said.
Well, I mean, like, they have this joke where Marge finds the scientist who helps design it. They're like, they cut corners everywhere. The celebrity guests was Gallagher. That's what this is. Like, we're going to make a movie, and the musician is going to be Oingo Boingo.
Hey, ooh. Oingo Boingo's awesome. Don't give me that look. Oingo Boingo was a great band.
Okay, so the
you know what? The rest of this episode is going to be dedicated to me just playing Oingo Boingo on my iPhone. Give me a minute here.
So the high school that John Hughes went to proves that John Hughes does not know how normal people like. This is the aquatic. No, Glenbrook North High School. It's north of Chicago in a suburb, and this is
well,
the
Northern Chicago.
Aquatic. This is the aquatic center.
Good Lord.
I was just like, okay, I want to know. And then like...
It explains so much about
this
John
is their
Hughes,
track.
Because he was probably the geekiest guy in the rich high school.
I mean, it's pretty normal,
of course.
But I'm just like... This is the front of the school. Like, This is not a normal high school.
No, it's, we're looking right now at a glass monstrosity that has been kept up to date. It looks like it costs
maybe
a few $1,000 a semester to go there.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. He also didn't have friends.
Oh.
No, I mean, like, I'm sure he was a charming guy who died of sexual asphyxiation at 59. I don't know how he died. But here's the thing.
He collapsed on the sidewalk in Manhattan.
But here's the thing, Daniel, Buzz Killington. This is not how people act. This is someone who just wanted to hang around with 16-year-olds. This is like if Michael Jackson was a director. You know what I mean? Like, there's just nothing that feels like this is a person who knows how social reactions work. He's just like, we will be friends with girls because we will
impress
them in some way.
Do you have a specific example or a scene where that's the case?
Them meeting the girlfriends. This is not how people meet girlfriends. Like, because, like, I get that this is like a masturbatory fantasy of them developing, but all she wants to do is help them be human beings, right?
Right.
So they drive around in Ferraris and Porsches, and they have a party with 600 people where they don't really drink. Like, who else gets a 16-year-old Anthony Michael Hall drunk, and then he thinks he's cool around a bunch of black guys at, like, a blues club?
Well, that was an earlier scene from their house party, but you're not
wrong. It really doesn't matter, because it really does prove the point. It just doesn't fit with how people act.
And they don't develop as characters.
They convince us
they do, but they act the same way all the way through. They're dipshits.
Yeah.
This is such a weird movie.
I think the only time they might have grown was when he was truthful to the potential new girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, literally the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
But there's not like a moment where they're like, we're better now. No, that's appropriate. We'll leave that sound effect. That's better than Foley work.
Well, there's that one scene at the end where Anthony Michael Hall says, I want you to like me for what I am. So he's not changing, but he at least admits his own faults. I don't know if that means anything.
There should have been a scene where Robert Downey and his like toady friend
got theirs. They never got theirs.
Oh, that's very rare.
They hid behind the bar.
Oh, but they don't even leave. Like, there's no scene where the girlfriends look for them and they're hiding, or they set or man. Or the
dude, that relationship was over.
Yeah, at least Chet gets his. Chet is a Bill Paxton's army brother character.
But I mean, the bullies were. I mean, all things considered, even bigger dicks than the fact that at the end Chet points a gun in all their faces.
That wasn't Chet pointing a gun. That was Anthony Michael.
No, Chet does put a gun.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does.
He points a shotgun.
A shotgun.
Yes. He hits him on the head with it.
Yeah.
In a very Kubrickian dick scene. Like, it's just like poking him in the face. Hey, you got laid last night, but poke. It's weird, man. There's some weird phallic imagery in this. Kids movie.
Not that least of which was that missile that they created in the middle of their home.
Early teen movie. This is not a kid's movie. But yeah, it's...
You edit a few scenes. This could be a film that has a moral and it's aimed at a younger audience. But then they're just like, but John Hughes?
Well, there was a lot of nudity in this for a PG movie.
Yeah, there's a weird scene where... It looks like the RCA logo or something. Or no, the Maxwell logo. Where there's someone who's so impressed by the sound they're being blown away.
Mm-hmm.
This woman who is dressed in like, you know, like a 80s pink sweater and a skirt gets like her clothes get sucked away and then she gets sucked up a chimney and spat out into hell.
They're trying to recreate Lisa for Robert Downey and his friend. Robert Downey Jr. And when they do that, it just creates all these weird weather effects. And while that's happening, the woman gets her clothes sucked off.
It's science.
It's yes. Weird.
Climate change.
It's weird science is what it is.
That's what happens when we go to the metric system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird moral tale. It's a message movie. This is what happens when the Ruskies get the bomb.
So wait, you're telling me they programmed her in feet and did it in meters?
And then
it crashed
into certain parts.
I did like Lisa, but it's impossible to hate Lisa. I mean...
Well, because she's the only charismatic Bond we have in the whole movie.
Yes.
And, I mean, frankly, she is the closest to a Ferris Bueller-like character because she's just the one who's... in charge of the movie.
Well, yes. She's God, basically, in the universe of this movie. She's able to create things from scratch and...
Well, here's a question for just a fun fan theory, because the rest of the movie is a steaming pile of effluence. The question of the matter is do you think they honestly created Lisa? Because at the end of the movie, she goes off and does something else. Do you think she just popped in for a couple days and then just keeps doing that?
I think they create
better movie. Much better movie.
She's just a crazy person who just walks in like,
oh,
she's gone.
Helena Bonham Carter's character from like Fight Club. And she just floats through movies.
Better movie. She better just movie. Floats from person to person's life and screws everything up for
so
a couple days.
So she's the prototypical manic dream pince.
No, she's
pixie
the cat.
Girl.
No, she's the sexy cat in the hat.
Oh, there you go.
For all those in Rule 34 forums everywhere, we have a sexy
kid. I have made this movie better. You are welcome.
That's really funny.
My mind is now blown thinking about a sexy cat in the hat. I just don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
Oh, gross. That's really gross. I don't know. There's not much to this movie. After creating her and she does shit, they go to a bar, they get drunk.
Well, she showers with them first and is like talking about how fun it is to shower. And I'm like going, you guys are still wearing your clothes.
They are. And that's a gag. That's actually a joke. The guys...
I thought the bigger joke was...
I mean, they're both in the shower with her.
I thought that the bigger joke was that they cut away right as they're panning up her legs, and they cut away right before they get to her butt and then cut back to her.
Because there's a difference between occasionally flashing a nipple and a full-on frontal.
It would have been a full-on back, though.
Buttle.
Yeah, buttle.
A full-on buttle.
Yes.
I was going to say, it's a good gag because... they want this so bad because they think it's something they can handle, and they can't even handle someone who they literally created. They can't even...
Well, I mean...
So apparently people return real dolls all cut up.
What?
This one didn't have organs. Like, that kind of shit. The realistic sex dolls end up all... And I'm pretty sure Anthony Michael Hall might be a normal person one day. The other one, Wyatt, he's murdering his sex doll. Right? I feel so bad.
There's no ovaries in my sex doll.
Right. This one didn't have any organs inside.
Where's her heart?
Wyatt, inventor of the fleshlight.
I felt her chest, and there was nothing beating down there. There was nothing beating. She wasn't alive. Her eyes.
Why'd she beating down there?
I was just going to go to the Jaws thing. Her eyes were like a doll's ass, but apparently you have officially won this round, good sir.
There's a robot dick in my face, and that's really
funny. We need Jeremy to enter something into this.
I'm staying out of this.
he's got a family-sized box of double stuffs, and he is...
Yeah, I'm waiting for this to be over so I can demolish him.
A family-sized box of double stuffs. Let's go to that right now.
Oreos. You could kill yourself in other ways.
But not as tasty.
Yeah, right.
Oreos, technically we're all killing ourselves, just very slowly.
Another Stranger Things. We need to talk.
Do we need to?
This movie is nothing but like weird scenes. There's no plot. Like, this is not a movie.
Bad sex jokes, weird scenes, and it doesn't even have a full three-act structure.
Yeah.
No. They go to the club, they wake up, they're drunk, Chet shows up, he's an asshole. They go to the mall to try to do whatever.
Robert Downey Jr.
antagonist.
Robert Downey Jr. dumps ices on them, and that's about all that happens in the mall.
Yeah. We don't even have a defined antagonist. Chet's a bit of an antagonist to Robert Downey Jr., but we really don't have a conclusion for that or a build up because
they are their own antagonists.
Yes, they are. That's
man versus self. That's the theme of the movie.
Man versus right hand. This is
there you go. Well, we do have
another year. I got to send a Valentine card to my own hand.
We do have an antagonist actually, and he shows up right towards the end, and it's the henchman that was in The Road Warrior.
Well, half the Road Warriors cast shows up, and I think it's supposed to be. Like, because there are weird scenes with the parents that don't matter.
No.
At the end of the movie, the other one, Anthony Michael Hall is an orphan because his father has completely lost any memory that he exists.
Gary,
magic wore off, right?
No, because when he drove by in the Ferrari, he's like, who's this Gary
but
you're talking?
The Ferrari hadn't worn off
That's fair, maybe, yeah.
I think it's like a dream of when you're a teenager and you want to rebel, but you can't. Because you don't know how, or you're too scared of your parents altogether.
First of all, let's make this better, because you're right.
Yeah.
But they should have established all of this. What they should have done is had Gary, or Wyatt, or whatever, in his room, and the Ferrari's the poster on his wall. The woman is the Farrah Fawcett poster, or a, you know,
or a poster of just her. Poster. Yeah, exactly.
And then that's what comes to life.
That makes sense.
Establish the fact that he's living in his own head, but he doesn't know what happens if he actually got his dreams. But at this point, I like that the movie gets going, but there's nothing to get going on, right? There's nothing to, like, I get that they embarrass him. That's fine. But then he should be like, well, in the world of Wyatopia, I am the king, right? Which is something they did in this season's Rick and Morty, where you have this dream world and that goes badly. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting idea. There's no interesting ideas in this. He wanted to direct Animal House and can't. He's not funny.
It's better than life without the full consequences.
He is funny. He's just not funny with this particular genre.
He needs a female main character who feels out of place. That's where he's best. That's
16 Candles.
16 Candles, it's half of his movies.
Curly Sue. Faye
and Ferris Bueller helps balance at least to some degree. Not by much, but at least.
Silk Stockings. Hey, that's the other guy. The guy was in Silk Stockings.
Yeah, Wyatt was in Silk Stockings.
Home Alone 2, Drill Bit Taylor. He's better with women. That's what I'm saying. I was trying to think of 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink. Those are the two.
Oh, there you go.
Because Pretty in Pink was just a remake of 16 Candles with the ending he wanted and not what the studio told him to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. This movie frustrated me, not because I thought it was bad. It's because I thought it could have been better.
Well, we know it could have been better because John Hughes has done better. At least I think he has with, like, Ferris Bueller and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Regular Vacation, Home Alone, Uncle Buck.
Well, yeah. I'd say this is better than Home Alone.
I like Home Alone.
All right.
You're wrong.
Okay.
You're still wrong.
I accept that. Didn't he do the script to Dennis the Menace back in the day?
Another Daniel Stern. No. Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd.
That's a Stay Tuned. I loved that movie when I was a kid. It's a weird movie.
It's a very weird movie.
Yeah.
Walter Matthau as Mr. Wilson.
I think John Hurt is in it too.
He just died recently too, didn't he?
Yeah, of being old.
Yeah.
Fat. I think he had a heart problem. Okay, but The Sopranos, he was a huge man. I thought he had a heart attack.
No, in Battlestar Galactica and Sharknado, he was a pretty big dude.
I love how he goes back to that dog he can't move. He's kind of waddling around. Let's see. This is not interesting to listen to. Hi, everyone. Okay. We've talked for a while. So the movie ends like all good college, or I guess teen boob comedies, for lack of a better genre, with a party. There's a party at their house. Hundreds of people are invited who no one knows. It's a joke.
That's not just the ending. That's the entire third act is at this party.
Yeah, there's not a third act. There's just the end of the movie. The latter third. But yeah, so again, it's like,
don't give it credit for structure that does not exist.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally like, we're going to get you laid, so let's party, dude. It's what it is, right?
That would have been better.
Yeah.
They stayed in the bathroom the whole time.
Well, there's that great dragnet scene in the bathroom when they're in the shower stall, like, talking like Joe Friday, right?
So, I imagine this is what happened. So I'm sure John Hughes, like a lot of writers, would like write down these little great ideas for little vignettes or things like this. And he had a bunch of them just sitting around, and he tried to force them all into one movie, and this is what we got.
Thought two. This came out the year before Ferris Bueller.
It did?
Yeah, this is 85, Ferris Bueller is 86.
Oh, wow.
I think they were filming Ferris Bueller in another room in the same house, so they had to only use the bathroom. Therefore... Or something, because this is a movie house. This house does not exist for normal people. There's 7 bathrooms, 8 bedrooms.
Oh, yeah, that was the big problem with all of John Hughes' movies. Every place that anybody lives is like a castle.
He was filming in his own house. Like, that's the only thing you can think of. This is not where people live. This is where John Hughes runs around naked all day.
Can we talk about how someone took a shit in front of another guy, like, in this movie?
Yes! Yes, he's not wrong!
Oh, yeah, that's
right. They're in the bathroom. And he says, yeah, yo, dude, turn the fan on. And you're like, and he stuck around. He didn't leave. His buddy took a full-on deuce.
Well, there's, yeah, and then he's like walking around with matches after that.
Well, maybe he went to the shower.
He's still in the room.
He's still in the room.
No, but I mean, just if you watch the scene, there is a point where they think exiting is going into the shower.
I'm letting you sit in this one. There's nothing I have to add.
So we're talking about poops.
I'm going to guess.
Who does
this
that?
This is a mildly sexist scene making fun of how women go to the bathroom together and they didn't know how to do it with guys because none of those beats land. Right, like the jokes don't work, but right. I think that's how the scene was originally pitched.
Because this is when the girls come in and this is they're both together. I could see how you get there. It's just horribly executed.
And what's up with the punchline of that where future girlfriends show up and then they're talking and then they leave.
Plain looking.
Yeah.
No, they're pig women.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Trying to be. Trying.
I hate that Nick used that term, but that's not inaccurate.
Because if a woman is overweight like that, they don't dress that way. They made them look like pig women. They even pulled their hair back so their faces were more like...
No, that's...
Gee, like, they made an effort to make them look like chuds. That's not okay. that was... So they went into makeup one day. They went into wardrobe and they said, make these women look like monsters, and then they left.
Makeover, 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 makeover.
It was funny.
It was, like, because, like, one of them had, like, almost like a bun in the back of her hair, but she was wearing, like, this kind of flouncy sweater with a belt that was above her belly button, so it made the top half of her look like a muffin top. Like, the whole upper half of her body, like... Again, if you're overweight, you don't dress that way because you look like a monster.
The 80s
were
weird.
I didn't really focus on what the women looked like. It was the fact that there were two different women than the ones that they were intending to talk to.
Yeah, how does that even work anyway? Like, did they just sneak in or...
Didn't hear the door.
How did they know that was the bathroom? All the doors look the same. They're all closed.
Well,
that's where you're wrong. Chet's room had his name on it.
Oh.
So maybe it said bathroom outside. Maybe there was a gentleman's gentleman.
Now, I do believe, because this was a very tight script, I do believe that the women heard a toilet flushing, so they decided, that's the bathroom.
No. You know what? I want to go back to the next point. This is not how people live. So this house party starts. They open the door. There are hundreds of people outside the door. We zoom out as everybody is hoarding in right into the room. And in the lower left of the scene, there's a valet sign.
Yes.
And two men in red jackets valeting cars.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Playboy Mansion.
I mean, this is Lisa, the posh... made-up woman.
Also, you pointed this out when we were watching this. Weird Science is a terrible name for this movie.
Yes, it is.
There's no science. There's no nothing.
Well, what would you have called it? Just boobs?
In Germany, it's just called Lisa. Better name.
It is a better name.
It's an acronym.
Oh.
What's an acronym for?
Nothing. It's just LISA, so it looks like the computer wore tennis shoes or something. Like, it stands for something.
Oh, okay.
Like a computer program. That makes sense. You know.
It makes more sense, yeah. No, it's a better...
It's just, this movie... Never think you're ahead of. Never think the movie is smarter than you, because you're smarter than this movie.
Yeah.
And if you don't think something's funny, it has the beats of comedy, but none of the effort. Like that Joe Friday sketch, which may have landed in 1985 when people are on cocaine. Who knows what? But they don't even do anything else. Like that scene is so out of place. It's not funny. If it were more of a Family Guy kind of movie, and all they did was cutaways like that, it may have worked. But when it's one scene, it happens so quickly, you're like, what the fuck just had a scene?
Well, I mean, you're not wrong that it's a bunch of cutaways. I mean, this is like the most cliched 80s movie ever. They're like referencing every teen 80s movie that came out before then.
Yeah.
True. You think they named it Weird Science for the song? Or was the song made for Weird Science?
The song was made for the movie, and the band originally turned it into a demo, and they decided, oh, that's the final song that the band wants, so we're going to put that on the soundtrack, which is why they hated it.
Mm. I mean, like, the fact that this came out in, what, 85 or whatever, that's fine, screams that he had watched some Zucker Abrams Zucker stuff from the earlier 80s, right? Because that's what it feels like. He wanted to throw some of that in, he just didn't know how to do it. It's a shame, because I generally like John Hughes, and this is...
We got two fourth wall breaks, though.
We did. We get a bunch of kind of winks at the camera. And also, in the most baffling, you're not going to believe this ending, Lisa just exists. We think she disappears, but she shows up to gym practice to a bunch of sweaty guys who all smack their heads and faint.
Well, she does demand that they drop and give her 20, so...
I mean, I guess.
You're a woman, Christina. When you try that, what happens?
Thomas hits himself in the head because he can't do 20 push-ups.
I can do 20 push-ups, my friend.
Over an extended period of time.
Over 3 days. For 40 days and 40 nights, Thomas did those push-ups. But it's just, it's a weird scene because, first of all, it doesn't belong in this movie. Second of all, is she dead? Question mark should not be the last thought we have for a computer woman that's printed on a dot matrix print.
Like I said, I never understood what she was. Was she like a simulation?
She's a sexy cat in the hat is what we're going with.
What does the military have to do with this movie?
They're the only ones with the server processing power to be able to handle the stupid program that they put together.
So again,
so technically,
movie, she should have walked out at the Air Force base or whatever. Like, she should have been naked at the Air Force base.
No. She should have been dressed in, like, you know, a colonel's uniform walking out or something.
So
she should have been naked and then killed the colonel and your clothes, give them to him.
So technically speaking, this entire movie is built upon a major federal crime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Treason.
That would have been the great, like, the Blues
sexual
Brothers
treason.
Ending. The Blues Brothers ending, where all of a sudden the military shows up and arrests them.
Yeah.
That's a better ending to this movie.
How about hacking is like a major trip? Like.
Well, that was technically War Games.
And better movie.
That's true.
Better movie, yeah.
Red Dawn is a better movie than this.
Ooh.
Anyway, I think.
But we're helping the Russians now.
Yeah.
No, I believe it's the other way around, depending on what state you live in.
And guys, in the remake, it was North Koreans, so please.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Let's wrap it up.
Thank God.
Start with you. What do you think? Final thoughts?
Meh. I think this is my best way of feeling towards it. I probably will never watch it again.
No problem.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
To go off what one of our panelists, Matthew W. Quinn, says, don't watch this once.
Daniel.
Boobs. That's all I really got. I mean, it's there's a lot better John Hughes movies, and there's a reason he's considered such a classic director, but this really doesn't explain why. Yeah. So go check out Ferris Bueller.
There's a lot of boobs on screens, too. It's I think it was rated PG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been PG.
Oh, we forgot about after the scene with the clothing getting sucked off when they're making Lisa, there's all that porn playing in the background. Remember that?
Yeah, there's just porn.
Like, yeah, there's just.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Hugh Hefner should have showed up. Like, the thing is, the nuclear missile coming through the floor isn't a joke. It's not a gag.
No.
It should have been like they were on the wrong page of the Playboy, and so Hugh Hefner popped out instead of the centerfold.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been funny. Yeah, like, funny. Just like, what kind of party is this? Why are you upstairs? The chicks are down there. And I'm old, so it's funny. Him and a rapping granny should have popped out, for Christ's sake. Thomas, what's your thoughts?
I usually like bad movies, especially in the so bad it's good category, but this doesn't crest the hill on that side. This is just bad. Just don't watch it. Agree with the reverse Matthew Quinn line.
Okay, so here's the thing. Frankly, my thoughts on this are a little bit... I guess weirder. I don't hate this movie as much as we made it sound like. It's just not a fun movie. It's none of the things that John Hughes usually does well, which is Breakfast Club, which is all about interpersonal relationships. You don't get any of that here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's frustrating. It just doesn't feel like at the end of the day, not that they haven't learned anything. Who could give a shit? It's a comedy. But no one cares. No one has any feelings at the end of this movie. And B, it's not funny. It just feels incomplete to me. You can literally skip this one and go to Ferris Bueller, which is a genuine comedy. You can watch 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink, which is a genuine comedy. Although, for people who like this movie, they like probably Bill Paxton. That part held up fine. Mm-hmm. And there's certain bits that are funny. They just all last way too long.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a TV edit that cuts it by 10 minutes that would make it better, but all the jokes are beaten to death.
There was an entire Weird Science TV show back in the 90s on cable.
And it was based on this? It wasn't the one with the little girl?
No, it was based on this, I think.
What's the one with the little girl who's a robot?
Small Wonder?
Oh, Small Wonder. Thank you. I'm sorry. Wrong bullshit. Anyway. So... I usually prepare badly for everything I do, so give me one second. We're going to watch a kind of a classic next week. which I love for our hint. And I don't even know what to say. Okay, I have two things. First of all, we're returning to people we visited before, Paul Verhoeven and Philip K. Dick. But more so, I'm going to just give this one away with a hint that everyone knows. We're going to see someone with three breasts.
I was about to say boobs.
Yeah. So with that in mind, tune in next week and every future week when we put another past into trial and we watch a movie that I think everyone will actually enjoy. Why don't people
understand? Myopia Defender Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Caroline by The Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks.